Good morning, church.
So today, as we conclude the series called Made Whole, I love this series. We preach this series in different locations in our Every Nation churches. And oftentimes, after the service, we had different ones coming up to us to say that, Pastor, this is so timely. This series on mental health issues, it is so timely because it's so relevant, especially to those of us who had gone through or who have family members or friends who are going through mental health challenge. And we want to talk about it openly as a church. And that's why we put together dialogues with professionals. We put together testimony video so that as a church, we can grow in awareness and we can grow in understanding this complex issue called mental health. And we spoke about how our mental health challenge is one of the greatest battlefields in the 21st century. If you think about it, depression is real, anxiety is real, and the different pressures of life that causes emotional mental health issues, it is very real. And we spoke about how ultimately our promise and our ultimate hope is in God. Okay, would you read this verse together? 1, 2, go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. Let me pray. God, we pray, God Lord, that your word will speak to us, even as we open up our hearts, as we open up our minds, and as we open up our spirit, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to us, may encourage us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love this verse that speaks about God himself will make us whole, will complete us. That God did not outsource it to a third party. God did not outsource it to his angel. But God of peace himself will make us whole. Body, soul, and spirit. That sometimes as Christians, we may just only focus on spiritual matters, which we should. But we forget that God is interested in our holistic being, which is spirit, soul, and body. And that's why we have this series. And we talk about, maybe 2 weeks ago, I combined week one and week two together. We spoke biblically, theologically, how we should view mental health challenge. We spoke about how in the midst of that, what we should do as a silent sufferer, what we should know. We spoke about how through that journey of depression, through that journey of grief, through that journey of darkness, God's grace is there for us. That God's grace give us the strength to go through that journey. And we spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, Pastor Jason speak about the path to wholeness in the story of Elijah and how there is a holistic journey in terms of recovery and healing. And today, as we bring this message to a close, it's talking about to us as a church, what does it mean to be a bridge to wholeness? So today's message is a little bit more application. Today's message is a little bit more how as a church we can rise up to be that bridge, to be that light that God has called us to be in this 21st century. Although we say that it is the greatest battlefield in the 21st century, it is also a divine opportunity for it to be the greatest mission field. Right? Mental health challenge is so rampant, it's so real, it's so close to home, that it can also be an opportunity for it to be a greatest mission field, especially in urban city areas like where we're living in today. These are some of the Malaysian statistics, that there is one clinical psychologist to about almost a million population. I was reading up just 2 years ago, official registered clinical psychologists in Malaysia stands around 400 plus people in the whole nation. When you talk about registered counselor, it's 1 to 3,300 people. That's the ratio. And as you compare that to doctors, it is 1 to 420 in Malaysia. But you know what? Ratio to Christian to Malaysian population, it is 1 to 11. 1 to 11. Therefore, there is such an opportunity for us as a church to rise up and to be that bridge to wholeness. Mental health challenged individuals are more likely to be connected to a Christian or to a churchgoer as compared to a professional mental health provider. Isn't that true? Just by statistics alone, just by that rational calculation, we know that that person who is going through depression, who is suffering through darkness, emotional turmoil, most likely is connected to a Christian, to a churchgoer, compared to a medical health professional. Therefore, as a church, we present that unique opportunity because we have a holistic view towards recovery. Right? When someone goes to see a psychiatrist, potentially the recovery, the medication is needed, but potentially the recovery is that one-track mind. It's medication, right? But I think as a church, because we believe that God has created us in His image, that God has created us a holistic being, that we as a church, we have a holistic view towards recovery, that it is all intertwined, emotional and spiritual and relational, mental, physical. It's all intertwined. Church presents accessibility, as mentioned, but also a supportive community, that we have and lack of a better word, ecosystem whereby there are life groups, there are prayer ministry, healing room. They are a community of network of a supportive community which provides an environment for people to seek refuge, seek prayer, seek comfort, encouragement, and therefore towards a road to recovery. And of course, as a church, we has the message of our ultimate hope beyond existing circumstances, which is the ultimate hope in God. Ultimate hope in God. However, this is true. However, as a church, we are often ill-equipped. I think that's true. I think Pastor Jason mentioned it as well last week, whereby as a church, sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. We don't know what not to say. And whenever we encounter a family member, a neighbor, a co-worker who may be going through depression, we immediately will text our pastor, our leader, because we don't know what to do. And that's why this series, hopefully, we are able to bring about awareness, bring about a little bit of practical education to at least to know what we can do. I'm going to go through a couple of verses, and these are not verses that specifically speak about mental health challenges, but I think it speaks about how, as a church, we need to relate to one another. Okay, so let me just go through. John 13, Jesus was talking to the disciples, and Jesus gave them a new commandment. Now, Jewish tradition, they have many laws, many commandments, but Jesus says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, the greatest commandment, which is love one another. Love one another. He says, as I have loved you, you must love one another. That we love each other with the love that we have received from Christ. And Jesus said, right? How do you know that you are my disciples? When you learn to love one another. I remember many years ago when I was fresh out of university, I was working in a consulting firm, and I was sent to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, for a 3 weeks audit work. It was in the middle of winter, early February, I remember. It was minus 30, minus 35 degrees. And I was there with a few of my colleagues. And we were there, and there was an Every Nation there. And Pastor Michael Pederes happened to be there on a mission trip, and we got connected. And over the weekend, I was telling my colleagues, hey, let's visit church here. I have friends here. And they looked at me and said, you have friends in Ulaanbaatar? I said, yeah, come. And as I met them, I brought them to that small fellowship. We chit-chat, we eat, we pray for one another. And we went home. He says, how long have you known them? I said, I just met them for the very first time today as well. He says, wow. But he says, they say that there is such an evidence of the love of the fellowship of the community. That is so evident. And they begin to say, yeah, actually, a lot of Christians, my auntie is like that, my neighbor who is Christian, they are very warm. They are so loving and so caring. So that is a mark of a Christian, that if you learn to love one another. And I hope that when they encounter Christian, they don't encounter a Christian who is cold, who is often toxic. I hope that that's not us, that we will exemplify the love of Christ. The next verse, Galatians chapter 6. One of the things I like about Galatians is that Paul wrote this letter to rebuke the Christian in that church. It is a scolding letter. Right, Paul was saying a bit of greeting, and immediately, you read chapter 1, immediately Paul went to, I am writing this to kind of rebuke you for deserting the gospel of grace that you have been preached, and now you are preaching another gospel, which is not gospel at all. So Paul went in and just started to just begin to correct them, rebuke them, and scolding them. Talking about scolding, my youngest child, Joash, he is 7 years old, And 7 years old, he just entered primary school, and we enrolled our kids into Chinese primary school. And just 2+ months in, and as per all parents today, we have parents chat group that is created. And that's where the parents begin to ask and exchange notes about homework. Okay, today what homework? My son don't know where the book is. Have we passed out? All the sorts of things going on in the chat group. Okay, so one day, the chat group was buzzing. And then they were going on about the teacher didn't tell them to bring the book. So the whole class didn't bring the book. And the teacher was scolding the class for not bringing the book. So it was really buzzing. So apparently it was a heavy scolding. So my wife and I, we turned to Joash and asked, Joash, did the teacher scold you? He looked at us, he said, no. So okay, that's strange. And maybe we thought that maybe the teacher was just targeting a few people. And then as the chat group was buzzing, and it was clear that it was the whole class, because there were more than 4, 5, 6 parents that is talking about, wow, the scolding was really bad. And I asked Joash again, Joash, did the teacher scold you? He said, no. And I rephrased my question. Did the teacher scold the class? And Joash says, oh yeah, the teacher's not looking at me, so not scolding me. So he didn't know. You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't know that the Bible is scolding us. You know, we think that, oh, this is for my spouse, this is for my life group member, this is for my life group leader. But it's not talking to us, okay? Sometimes we have that, right? When we read this, we don't think it's speaking to us. But the Bible is for us, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for you. And it's for me, okay? So Paul was writing Galatians to basically rebuke them. And as he continued on the chapter, chapter 6 is where he brings that to an end. And he encouraged them. He says, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And Paul inserted a bit of sarcasm, because they were all about, the first few chapters, the non-Jewish Christians, they were living their Christian life, and Jewish teacher, Jewish traveling preacher, and Jewish Christian began to come in and say, grace is all good, but you need to do this. You need this law, you need this Jewish law, food law, and all this circumcision law, different law. So Paul, at the end, was inserting a bit of sarcasm there. He says, if you want to fulfill your law, right, learn to love one another, learn to carry each other burden. And in that way, you will fulfill the law of Christ, not through those Jewish tradition law. It says, carry each other's burden. And carrying each other's burden has the picture of someone who is carrying a heavy yoke or a heavy burden, and a picture of someone that comes alongside and help him carry that burden together. So that's the picture of carrying each other's burden. Now, this verse did not speak about expecting people to carry your burden. This verse speaks about us looking outwardly and say, how can I carry other people's burden? Are you guys with me? So we don't read this verse and go, hey, so-and-so should help me, ma. This person should help me. My life group member should help me. It's not. This verse is speaking to us to look outward beyond our own circumstances to say, how can I carry other people's burden together? Romans 12 speaks about rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. If we apply that to our context, it talks about us being there. And sometimes we don't know what to say. We just being there to listen. Someone who is going through depression, maybe we rejoice with them for the little steps of victory, the little steps of recovery. That today I was able to get out of bed and dress myself and go to school, go to work. We rejoice with them, with the little progress that they make. Today I was able to make my way to see the counselor, and I was able to have lunch. We rejoice with them. At the same time, we also mourn with them when they are going through, when they just need a listening ear. Or we could be sitting in silence for half an hour, 45 minutes without speaking. But that means that we are mourning with them. We don't have to give solution. We don't have to say, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? Why don't you try this? It's not as simple. And sometimes we just need to listen and to be with them. One more verse. What can we do? This verse speaks about prayer. Prayer is powerful. When we don't know what to do, we can pray. We can pray. Just 2 days ago, someone texted me, Pastor, my friend is going through this and the person is not picking up my call. The person is not responding, not replying my message. What can I do? I said, just pray. Just pray. Maybe the person needs space. Maybe the person is not ready to open up and not ready to talk. Maybe the person needs space. And what you can do is pray. And to allow the person to know that you care for the person and you are always there if the person needed someone to talk to, but you can pray. Right? The words in yellow, it says, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. Pray for one another. And so as a church, one of the things that we can do powerfully is pray. Because when we pray, we become that bridge of what the person is going through in our current circumstances with the resources of God, with the resources and the power and the presence of God. We can pray. So practically, what can we do? We can learn. We can learn. As I was preparing for this series 3-4 months ago, I asked Elaine and says, can you recommend me some articles, some books so that I can read up, so that I can learn, I can be more aware. And this is one of the books that she recommended. And I thoroughly enjoyed the book. What we can do, you can learn so that we can be more aware. You can read up. You can speak to those who has gone through a mental health challenge, or you can speak to someone who is giving care to someone who's going through. As you speak to them, you begin to ask questions. You begin to understand their circumstances. And sometimes that gives us more empathy, and that gives us a little bit more wisdom as we begin to understand what they are going through. We can also listen with compassion, without judgmental. It's not about giving encouragement like, just get over it, or, you know, you can do it. And it's not just as simple as that. But we can learn to listen, to just be there. Finally, of course, we want to love as per what we have read about carrying each other's burden, loving one another, praying for one another. Practical ways that we can do. Simple, practical ways that we can do. Helping to send food to the family, helping to pick up the children from school, from tuition classes, just asking them out for a meal, taking walks with them at the park. Just simple ways to just provide that love and support. And later on, there's a video that we put together. The video is by one of our sister who is attending our Mandarin service. Her name is Moon. And she will be speaking in Mandarin, but don't worry, there's English subtitles, right? No problem, because we watch Korean with English subtitles anyway. So that's not a problem. But in her video, she began to talk about the journey and how the community, how her life group, how the leaders, how Erini has played a role in her journey to recovery. So as a church, a bridge is connecting two parts. And we can be that bridge to connect the people who is going through mental health challenges, to connect them to community, to connect them to professional help, but ultimately, most importantly, connect them to God. That's our role, church. That we can be a bridge. A bridge to what? Community, yes. Support, love. And sometimes those who are not in church, they can feel alone because they don't know where to turn to. Their family members, their colleagues, their friends may not know what to do, and because of that, they may feel isolated. They may feel that they don't have anyone to open up. But we can be that bridge to community. We can be that bridge to professional help, and we can help them find contacts. It doesn't have to be Erini. It could be other centers that we can ask, hey, is there a center near in KL or wherever that they stay that we can just help to find them connection? Obviously, ultimately, a bridge to God. So we have a video. So I'm going to ask the team to play the video, and I'm come back up to take communion and to wrap up this message. Go ahead, video.
Hello, 大家好，我是Moon, 来自中文堂, Every Nation. 那我先讲一讲我自己的 background. 说我本身是一个单亲家庭出世的，然后就跟随着妈妈啦，跟妈妈一起生活。 那家里面其实也有一些压力啊，然后是因为我妈妈本身是一个赌徒啦，所以才会导致家里会有很多纷争跟很多压力。然后也在我小时候也是有遇到过，大人侵犯啊、性侵我啊等等之类的，就变成在小时候其实蛮抗拒对大男人。那直到我中学。 开始慢慢懂事了，就会开始陷入了，比较感情上面比较叛逆的一个孩子，但是家里面其实还算是一个乖姐姐。那之后 也是因为妈咪的关系，也导致我们搬家、搬学校，然后也没有朋友可以诉说，然后直到长大了，然后开始慢慢有心理压力，有忧郁症，然后跟一度其实因为妈妈的事情会想要自杀。那我在大堂的时候呢，就看到一个布告栏上面他们就有讲这 Erin 的这个资讯，所以当时候我也因为有家庭的压力啊，然后工作的压力啊，然后还有一些感情上面的纠结啦，所以我看到的时候我就50-50，但是我的小组还有我的朋友家人他们都鼓励我去参加，所以我就去报名了。这样子我很庆幸的是在这一个治疗当中我有遇到一个很好的导师，然后他也开导我，然后跟我的小组组员们他们也很关心我，然后也一直为我的祷告，所以导致我康复的时间蛮快的。那其实我也意识到教会还有社群很多他们都已经开始在做这一系列这样子的活动，来帮助现在所遭遇遭害的一些朋友啊，或者是青少年们，或者是已经工作的朋友们。所以在教会我们其实有一个这么好的一个 program， 我希望在座的你们其实可以踊跃参与，因为这个东西对我们来讲只是一个过渡期而已啦。那我也成功的跑出来，也成功的被治疗，这样子我也很希望我可以给你们带更多的见证。那在这一个过程当中虽然很煎熬，但是当成功被治疗后，其实我心里面是感到蛮安慰的，因为一直以来教会的朋友、小组组员，然后我的家人，他们全部都一直都在鼓励我，所以我也把这个能量去带给有需要的人。所以我现在是一个 teens 的 leader， 所以我就帮助了蛮多的孩子，他们的心理上有问题啊，让他们跟父母吵架啊，或者是他们遇到的感情事情，所以从中我可以借着我的故事来去鼓励他们，然后让他们可以意识得到其实他们并不孤单。所以我们也达成了一个蛮强的一个信任在，所以我在这边会时常去鼓励他们，然后帮他们祷告，然后跟他们一起吃东西啊，然后一起谈心。所以在这一个过程当中真的是很感谢有 Erin 在。
Alright, would you give Moon a hand? I really what she say about it's a transition period, right? It's a transition period, and even if it takes our whole journey of life, it is still a transition period, because ultimately we know that God restores us fully. As God restores creation, God restores our body, soul, spirit fully, right?